Ephesians 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Everybody said, of his will.
Of his will.
I want to preach a little bit. A minister talked to us this morning about being predestinated according to his will.
All right.
We've got to understand this if we're going to live for God and make it all the way. There's a plan for you. There's a plan for me. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. I ask you to anoint it this morning. Touch my voice this morning. Give me strength, Lord, to minister your word. I give you thanks for it. I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. I'd like to just address this subject a little bit of the predestination. You don't hear a lot about it anymore, but there was a time when the subject of predestination meant that you were predestined to be saved or to be lost, and there was nothing you could do about it. But that's not biblical this morning. I want to talk about this subject of predestination. And through the avenue of understanding this, we can have the joy of serving God and living for the Lord. First of all, let me say I'm not talking about being predestined according to your salvation, because what God has given to each and every one of us, everybody that's here this morning, God has given you power. And that power is called the power of choice. You can choose to be saved or you can choose not to be saved. There is a heaven and there is a hell. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And it's up to us to make that decision. As the old timers used to say, you've got to have the want to. Amen. I want to go to heaven. Anybody else with me on that this morning? I want to go to heaven. It's not just all about what's going on here in this life, but it's about walking with God and looking forward to that great, great day when he's going to catch us all and take us out of here. Praise God. Well, let's go to Psalm 139 and verse 13. 139 and verse 13. I pray you will hear what I'm saying and not how I'm presenting it here this morning. Psalm 139 and verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Now look at this. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written. Think about that this morning. Which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. That's talking about the growth of a baby in the mother's womb. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. And so what we can see here in the book of Psalms is something that is totally, completely awesome. Praise God. Somebody help me here this morning. His thoughts to us are more than we can number. His thoughts to you, his thoughts to me, are more than we can number. God loves his people. My, I feel his presence here this morning. And not only that, He saw us before we were born. Every knuckle, every finger, every leg, each arm, your face, your height, your build, everything. God wrote all of that down in a book. Well, praise God. He wrote it down because He loves you. He didn't just create you. You were not just put here in a happen chance sort of way. But we are here today because of God's predestination. God's call. He predestinated His call in our lives. And so we were predestined to be born and to live in this life. You're not here by accident this morning. Young person, you're not here by accident. Mom and Dad, you're not here by accident. Whoever you are this morning, if you just understand that, it'll change the course of your life. We were not predestined to be saved, for that's a choice that we've got to make individually. Amen. But we want to look at Ephesians 1 and 5. He said, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. He predestinated the adoption, the possibility of an adoption according to the pleasure of His good will. Praise God. Amen. We're very blessed to be here this morning. It's not a coincidence that you're here. It's not just your decision that you're here this morning, but you're here this morning because before God created the world, He knew your name, and He had everything written down in His book about you. Well, praise God. Thank God. God predestinated the church, and He knew the church would be here. Thank God for the church. And I don't have this in my notes this morning, but if we were to look at it in the scriptures, we would see that the church is the gate to heaven.
Yes, it is.
It is the gate to heaven. There are gates to hell, the Bible says.
Yes.
And I won't go into those, but we're sitting this morning, I'm standing this morning in the gate to heaven.
Amen.
Well, praise God.
Amen.
Angels are ascending and descending in this place this morning because God has a purpose for your life. God has what we would call the will of God, God's will for your life, God's plan for your life, and it's a very important thing that you understand it. God's will is an individual thing that was predestined for you. And if we look at these truths, it becomes very exciting to know that I'm doing the will of God.
Yeah.
And if you're not doing the will of God this morning, you're not going to be a happy person.
Right.
You're not going to be fulfilled in your life.
Yeah.
You're not going to have direction and to know what to do in circumstances and situations of your life. Amen. The sinner struggles and trips and falls over many, many simple things. But thank God this morning we have truth today. Not only do we have truth, we have a pastor that will preach the truth to us. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know what? It's the devil's job to get you to stay out of church. But what we need to do is understand the value of the house of God. And the people of God and the ministry that God has placed in us. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Well, praise God. And there comes a time that we need to mature in this. And we need to not question in our mind, am I going to go to church today or not? It's a given. Amen. It's just part of my life. Amen. It's a major part of my life. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. I've got a number of scriptures, so if you want to write them down, take them home with you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his All right, you're there with me. You already knew that scripture. Praise God. And so when you choose to serve the Lord and you understand that there are some things that have already been laid out ahead before us, they have been predestinated for us. They were purposed by God according to His purpose. There is a purpose for your life.
Yes.
Well, praise God.
There
is a purpose for your life. And your purpose is different than my purpose. But in a real sense of the word, we all have the same purpose. And that is to be saved. The purpose of God is for us to have the Holy Ghost. The purpose of God is for us to be baptized in His name. The purpose of God is for us to come to an altar of repentance and ask for forgiveness of our sins and to have a course change in our lives. And I just feel this morning that someone needs a course change in your life. Well, praise God. You've been trying the same thing over and over and you're getting the same results. But I'm telling you this morning, if you'll get a hold of the purpose of God in your life and understand what His plan is for you, you can have a course change that will revolutionize your life. Praise God. I woke up this morning singing a song in my mind written by an old alcoholic. And he said, "Thanks to Calvary, I don't go there anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I don't do those things anymore." Well, praise God. There's got to be a course change in our life. And I'm thankful for the day that there was a course change in my life. At 19 years old, I realized there was something in me. I realized I was not going in a right direction. But thank God this morning I turned around and God has made something beautiful out of my life.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I appreciate Him this morning.
Amen.
Do you need a course change in your life today?
Oh, come on now.
Praise God. If you do, you're in the right place.
In the right place.
Well, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. It's not so much where you're at this morning, but it is what direction are you going that's so important. In pastoring all the years that I've pastored, I've noticed that there were times when people that were in the church were on their way out of the church. And there were those that were out of the church that were making their way into the church. Well, praise God. So it's not a matter of where you're at that's so important, but it's the direction that you're going in your life. What direction are we going this morning? We need to ask ourselves this. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Let's look at that as well. He said, "And be not conformed to this world." So there's a change, a course change that we need as far as our thoughts about this world and this life. He said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed," or changed, "by the renewing of your mind." Transformed, kind of like a butterfly, a caterpillar that turns into a butterfly. "But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." There is a will of God for your life this morning. There's a will of God for my life this morning. And sometimes it seems like that will of God is not pleasant, but there is a place that we can get that we understand this morning that I'm in the will of God. Praise the Lord. I wish I didn't have to shake like this. Wish I had a better voice than this. But I'm in the will of God this morning. Praise the Lord. So when I am weak, I am strong, He said. So I will rejoice in my infirmities. Praise God, because I want the power of Christ to rest upon my life. Praise the Lord. And some of you this morning are going to get to where I'm at. Praise God. And you're going to have to come to the same conclusion that I'm in the will of God. The purpose, the predestinated purpose before the world was formed. Amen. I'm walking in that will of God. And so there's two areas that we can see when we find and do the will of God. And there's two areas of the will of God. I would just call it this morning the general will of God and the specific will of God.
All right.
And the specific will of God for me was when God called me to preach. And there were times that I didn't want to preach. There are times I didn't want to pastor. I knew I would never evangelize, and I never did. I started out pastoring right at the very beginning. But then there is the general will of God. The general will of God involves more than the specific will of God in some instances. But the general will of God, I want to talk about that this morning, because the general will of God, that means it's for everybody. It's general. Amen. The general will of God is found in the Word of God. And if you feel like God is calling you to do something, it will never conflict with the Word of God. Praise the Lord. It's in the Word of God. It is in the Word of God that we must repent of our sins. Praise the Lord. That's the will of God. So if you want to be blessed in your life, you've got to come to a place where you see yourself in the mirror of the Word of God and you say, I am a lost person without God. Forgive me for my sins, Lord. Forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me. Amen. That's the general will of God. And the general will of God is that we be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, don't get me off on that. Amen. Because we'll be here all morning. But I do want to talk about it, because when we repent of our sins, the word repent is a Greek word, metanoia, which means an about face. It's a military term. And it means to make a course correction. I'm going to turn from my sins. I'm going to turn from my ways. And I'm going to turn to God. Praise the Lord. You say, well, I'm way far away. Well, if we look at it this morning, and here's God. We'll just say that speaker is God. And we're over here, way over here, by this one that's dark, and we're far, far away from God. It matters the direction that you're going. Yes. Right. If you're going in this direction and you keep on going, it's going to get darker and darker. But if you will repent and turn yourself, the light of God may be just a little tiny light in the future. But if you will start to walk toward the light, it'll get brighter and brighter and brighter. And the way of the righteous is as the shining light that gets brighter and brighter every day. Well, praise God. You say get brighter. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the will of God this morning. You will begin to understand more and more about the will of God. Don't worry about where you're at this morning. Worry about the direction that you're going. That's what is so very, very important. And so when we turn in baptism, or we turn in repentance, we are at a place where we're going in the right direction. Then what we need to do is be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Water baptized. Not sprinkled, but water baptized. The word baptized means to immerse.
That's it.
You say, well, I was baptized when I was a baby. That's not good enough. You have to repent first. But when you repent, then it is the will of God. That's what we're talking about, the predestined will of God. It is the predestined will of God that you be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says it's for the remission of your sins. The word remit means to blot out or to erase. So what we do, we turn our backs on the past, and God, through baptism, erases our past. How many of us this morning would love to have our past erased?
Oh, yes.
Praise God. Because I still remember the past. But the good thing about it is God does not remember the past.
Amen.
It's not written down in a book somewhere that it's going to come up against me. Because I had my sins remitted in water baptism. And we have a baptistry here this morning.
Yes.
And we have heated water for our baptistry this morning. Praise God. We don't have to run a hose through the sanctuary from the hot water tank. But Pastor Cowan got it all fixed up. And we need to get that thing used. If you have not been baptized in Jesus' name, amen, it behooves you to do it immediately. Like the Ethiopian eunuch, what doth hinder me? Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Take me to the water. I want to do it right now because it's the will of God. Praise the Lord. I didn't know anything about Scripture. I'd never read the Bible in my life. Didn't know anything. But when I came to the altar to repent, somebody said, "Would you like to get baptized?" And I said, "Yes." I didn't know what baptized meant. I didn't know what they were getting ready to do. But they said, "We've got a horse tank up here that's full of water. And the pastor wants to baptize you." I said, "Let's do it." Amen. And when I came up out of the water, God had delivered me of cigarettes. God had delivered me of alcohol. God had delivered me of drugs that I was involved in. God delivered me. Amen. I didn't even have the Holy Ghost yet. But God delivered me because those things were remitted. They were washed away. They were erased out of my life. Praise God. I know another man, Jim Healy. I don't know where he's at today, but he came to the Lord and he got baptized. And he had an allergy. He couldn't eat quite a few different foods. He couldn't eat potatoes. He would break out in a hive all over his body. He was allergic to a number of foods. And when he got baptized, he said, "I feel like the Lord has touched me. I'm going to fry up some potatoes." And he got some potatoes out and he fried them up and nothing happened. God completely healed him of his allergy. There's something in the Scripture, and I'm not going to get off here this morning, but there's something in the Scripture with salvation and healing, with forgiveness and healing. They seem to go together in the Word of God because those negative things in our life can be erased and washed away. Well, praise God. I've seen many, many miracles in my life. God has blessed me with that. I was raised up in a church. Amen, that was on fire for God, a church where there were miracles that took place, where cancers fell off in immediately, and Sister Ball had to grab her dress. She had a tumor on her side that enlarged her waist by 12 inches, and when she came and was prayed for, God immediately took it away. She had to grab her dress or it would fall to the floor. Amen. God is a healing God this morning. You say, "Well, preacher, why are you having a struggle if God's a healer?" Because I'm in the will of God this morning. And we can stand with confidence when we are in the will of God. Amen. And so the general will of God involves repenting, being baptized in the name of Jesus. I'm going to show you from the Scripture this morning. And receiving the Holy Ghost. Somebody said Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost. You see, the gospel And I just feel this so strongly here this morning, I really do. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about obedience to the gospel. How do we obey something that seems to just be a story? He came, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. But it's more than a story. It's an example of how we are to be saved. Jesus did that so that we could be saved. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, it says that we are crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we should henceforth no more serve sin. That's not exactly quoting it, but it's pretty close. And so when we come to God, we must be crucified with him. Praise the Lord. We're not going to get nailed to a cross, but we're going to die out to our old lifestyle. We die in repentance. And then Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, that we are buried with him by baptism. Notice it's with him. We die with him, we are buried with him, and then we rise to walk in a newness of life. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, if you'll go with me to the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, actually in verse 37, Peter was preaching to the people on the very first day of the New Testament church, the very first day, the very first gospel message that was ever preached. And it is a guidepost for us in our preaching and our beliefs as well. Somebody said amen about that. Amen. Verse 37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And you may be sitting here this morning thinking, what am I supposed to do? How is my life going to change? What is going to be the very thing that's going to make me happy and put joy down in my heart? Well, it's going to be following the will of God. Verse 38 is the will of God. Look at it this morning. Then Peter said unto them, this is in an answer to what shall we do? Amen. How can we be saved? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Not in titles, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but in the name of Jesus Christ, because he's the one that died for us. Father is not a name. Son is not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. But there is a name that represents those three offices. Amen. And that's the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. If you've got a Bible nearby, you need to look at this. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, you'll receive it just like they did in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. The Spirit was poured out, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Praise the Lord. That's the will of God for each and every one of us. I'm not any better than anybody else here this morning. You're not better than anybody else here this morning. We all have to come through the same door. Jesus said, I am the door. Praise God. And there's only one way to go through that door, and that's to be buried, to die, to be buried, and to rise again. According to the scripture. Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. There's so many today that say all you have to do is accept the Lord as your personal Savior. But I'm telling you, that's not in the scripture. There's not one place in the Bible that says that we should accept the Lord as our personal Savior. But it does talk about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes,
how do we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? We turn from our sins, we're baptized in his name, and we let him fill us with the Holy Ghost. That's how we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, praise the Lord. And so when we look at it, there's three things I wanted to bring out this morning, and I'm not going to go much longer here because we need to have some time for prayer. It's more than just hearing, it's receiving. Ephesians 6 and verse 6. Ephesians 6 and verse 6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And so you have to ask yourself, what is the reason that I'm doing this?
All right. Amen.
There's a reason. Yeah. Amen. And the reason needs to be, I'm doing this from the heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need God.
Yes.
Do you feel that way this morning?
Yes. God,
I need God.
I
need him more than anything in all
yes.
of the world.
Yes. Yes.
And I want to do the will of God, but I don't want to do it as a men pleaser. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it for any other reason than to be a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And so, what that does when you do the will of God from the heart, you don't worry about what anybody else is thinking. You don't worry about what anybody else is saying. Amen. I'm just doing the will of God from the heart. And if you don't like it, go to God and talk to him about it. See what he says. Mark 3:35. Mark chapter 3, verse 35. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. And so it starts out with our reason, but then it develops into a relationship.
Uh-huh.
If you do the will of God, if you will repent of your sins, be baptized in his name, and let him fill you with the Holy Ghost,
uh-huh.
It will develop into a close relationship with God, like a brother to a brother, and a brother to a sister, a sister to a sister. Amen. A relationship of mothers and fathers. Amen. A close relationship where you can talk to God, where you can be close to him, and he will answer your prayers. Praise God.
Amen.
Romans 15 and verse 32. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Amen. So there's joy and there's refreshment. But when we do the will of God, amen, there's results.
Yes.
So there's a reason that we serve God.
Yes.
It develops into a relationship with God.
Yes.
And then it produces results in the will of God.
Yes.
Some of you have been blessed of late on your jobs. And God's blessed you with money. Amen. That's a result of serving God. Because when you didn't have two nickels to rub together, you still paid your tithes. You still gave to God. You were still faithful to the house of God. You didn't let anything get in your way. Amen. It's so easy to let things get in your way. But God blessed, and there are results for you this morning if you'll just do the will of God. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Praise the Lord. Jesus came and died on the cross by the will of God, and it brought about a church. Thank God for the church this morning. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
And so when we look at the will of God, Matthew 7, verse 22, I just want to be clear this morning in what I'm saying. I don't want anyone to be confused this morning. Matthew 7 and verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Sounds like saved people, doesn't it? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. How could that be? How could they get into the specific will of God of prophesying, casting out devils, doing many wonderful works? Amen. They got the cart before the horse. That's what they did. They got the cart before the horse. And they said, we're going to do this for God. We're going to do that for God. But Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Praise the Lord. It's not about building big castles. It's not about building big churches. Oh, thank God. We're going to have a big church. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to have a big church. But I'm telling you this morning, our salvation is not dependent upon having a big church. Our salvation is based upon doing the will of God. Amen. And so there are many today that say all you have to say is, Lord, Lord. And that's it. You're saved. But he said, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Amen. Holy living and finding peace with others is not just good, it's essential. It's part of the will of God. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. So what's the conclusion of the whole matter? The wise man said it in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the very last verse. What is the conclusion of the whole matter? Fear God. Everybody said, fear God. So if you fear God, you're going to do the will of God. Fear God, keep his commandments. He said this is the whole duty of man. The whole duty. It's all wrapped up in a nutshell. Fear God, keep his commandments. I want to be saved. Do you want to be saved this morning? Can we stand together right now? I said it in the beginning and I want to say it again. The Lord wants to fill someone with the Holy Ghost this morning. We're not just going through a church service here today. But the Lord desires. He's got every member of your body written down in his book. He watched you form in your mother's womb. Not to let you just go your own way and be destroyed by the devil and by the world and by your flesh. But he came so that you could be saved. So you could hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've done the will of God. You've followed the will of God in your life. You made strong commitments. You made faithful commitments to God. And you followed through. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Praise God. When they received the Holy Ghost in the Bible, the Spirit of God came upon them. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And it's a spiritual walk with God. I heard a preacher many, many years ago. And he was overseas and he was preaching in an area where they didn't speak English. And he said it was amazing because there was a pastor, a national pastor, did not speak English, and he was going through some really hard times. And he came to the altar and he said he would lift up his hands and lift up his head and he would begin to speak in tongues, and then he would slump over because he was so down. Everything seemed to be going wrong. But he said when he began to speak in tongues, he would begin to speak in English. And he said, I walked over and I listened to what he was saying. And in one instance, he had his shoulders stooped. Nothing was going right. And then he would lift up his head and he would begin to say things like, I'm so happy in God. I'm so blessed. God is so good. And he would begin to say things like that. And then he would go down. You need the Holy Ghost this morning. I need the Holy Ghost this morning. Tessa, you need the Holy Ghost. And I don't want to embarrass you this morning, but you need the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost this morning, and you've never spoken in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, you've got a wonderful experience awaiting you in your life. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's the pathway to heaven. It's the highway to heaven. Praise God. It's a relationship with God that'll bless you year after year after year after year. Can we just come this morning? Can we all just come this morning?